The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Now, of course, there is Brexit and a lot more going on over in the UK that's kind of interest to us here now. So let's talk to Edwina Curry, former Tory MP and junior health minister. Good morning. Good afternoon, Edwina.
Good afternoon to you.
Edwina, I suppose we start with the most important thing, and that's on most people's minds. The whole Harry and Meghan thing is getting messier and messier by the day, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was debating with myself, do I actually spend a couple of hours of my time on Tuesday night or whenever it's going to be? My instinct, like much of my generation, it is a generational split, this, is that Madam Meghan is a waste of space and may have been the worst thing that ever happened to poor Harry. And do I really want to waste any of my time listening to her feeling sorry for herself?
Okay, oh, now look, that's your opinion on it, strongly expressed, but we certainly we can't let it go unchallenged that Meghan is a waste of space. I mean, there's two sides to every story, isn't there? And like Edwina, these people, the firm, as Meghan called them, ironically, I think it was Prince Philip christened them the firm. They're old hands at dealing with upstarts like Meghan, aren't they? And they are dealing with her.
Well, I'm not sure they are. I mean, the best thing to do with Meghan, as far as the firm is concerned, and I've heard it called that before now as well, just ignore her. And you know, they've got other things on their plate. They've got Prince Philip having been in hospital for a number of days, having had to have more surgery and so on. We have a 94-year-old queen who's still firing on all cylinders. But, you know, you've got to think about who's next. You've got Prince Philip still hugging trees. You know, there's a wealth of human interest there already. And then this lady comes and she was made very welcome. You know, a million people watched the royal wedding and were keen to welcome her and have her as a wonderful, fresh, wonderful new member.
She didn't like
being number two.
Yeah,
she might dispute
that she was made very welcome. Well, she didn't like being behind Kate, I think. No, she didn't like being the number two.
She didn't like being number two to anybody.
Of the daughter-in-laws, yeah.
And that's
I'd say, though,
reasons...
Kate wasn't going to let anyone come in and take over her patch either. I'd say Kate's tough enough, would you think?
Well, Kate's the future queen. You know, she's the apprentice at the moment as Kate Middleton. She's doing extremely well. And she gives a lot of support to her husband, who, you know, like Harry, they had a very tough childhood with the family splitting up and with Diana, who was, doesn't look like she was there all that much. You know, she was off with whoever it was. You know, this is a different story. If you join a firm, any kind of firm, including RTE, you can't just expect to swan in be number one. If there's somebody else that is the designated number one, or who for all sorts of reasons is going to take precedence over you, then that's what you accept when you join the firm. And, oh my goodness.
Yeah, but you see what they do in RTE is they tell us all we're number one, and then they just make sure we don't
but it's
compare.
A lie, isn't
we
it?
Don't compare notes at all. Listen, if you know what, Edwina, if you can't bear the 2 hours with Oprah, there was a very short light piece with James Corden last week that Harry did. And actually, he did a little interview with him for about 5 minutes on the top of an open top bus, funnily enough, and he kind of got it all out of him. And actually, when you see Harry just talking for himself and it's not being maybe mediated through the kind of Daily Mail online or the Telegraph, and you just see him saying, look, I did what any young lad would do. This stuff was toxic for me. It was doing our heads in. I got out of there and got my wife out of there and you know, got my family away from it. And you kind of thought, yeah, that's reasonable enough.
Oh, I thought James Corden played an absolute blinder. And we read in the papers that Opera's people are furious with him because he got in there first, didn't he? And he realised that actually a man-to-man with somebody about your own age is likely, especially if you're on the top of the bus, you're out of a studio, it's relaxed. Corden is an extremely bright, very able young man, as he's shown when he's turned his hand to all sorts of things. I loved Corden's interview with Paul McCartney. It was the best thing ever done going around Liverpool. Absolutely. But when you come back to Harry, I think my real fear, Brendan, is that this is eventually going to end in great sadness. And that at some point, you know, fast forward 20 years, is Harry still going to be in California?
Yeah.
I can't see it. I can't see it.
So he's cut himself off really. Like, the one thing, did you think about the Corden thing? He seemed a bit lonely out there. And he was kind of saying as well that because it's been locked down since he went there, that Harry hasn't really, I don't think he's built a life for himself out there, you know. And I don't think it's good for any partner to be too reliant on their partner and out of their own element, you know.
I think that's absolutely right. And it's true whether you're male or female, but it's actually in current culture, it's quite hard on young blokes, you know, especially California. It's being led so much by women. You know, Kamala Harris is now the vice president. I'm not kidding.
But this is a good thing.
I feel for them. I feel for the blokes. There's always
it's your turn now, Edwina. Time to give the women a go.
Listen, things work better, in my humble opinion, when people are treated as individuals, you know? And that, I mean, Harry is always going to be walking behind his missus. Fine.
Okay.
Except I don't think it is always to find yourself number two in a relationship like that, in a state where women are on top. Fine. It doesn't feel like it's, what's the word, sustainable.
Okay, well, as you said at the beginning of all this, this is a generational thing. So we will take your view as being the view through a generational filter. I said there was a piece in the Telegraph there. Camilla Tomney has a great piece about all the carry on. Apparently in Buckingham Palace, they refer to Harry as the hostage. That became his nickname. Now, listen, anyway, let's move on to matters more important. I was thinking about you and watching the Rishi Sunak's budget during the week and everything else. I was thinking, you must not recognise the Tory party that you were part of now. And the tax hikes on the way, corporation tax going up very high rates, up to 25% in the next couple of years. That's not the Tory party you were part of, is it?
Well, that's right. I mean, we didn't have five women in the cabinet. That's absolutely right. We certainly didn't have a large number of people in the cabinet whose parents or grandparents were immigrants, including the Prime Minister. Ain't that great? I mean, we're a much more diverse country now. And the way that the election went in December 2019 rather reinforced that, because we now have far more Conservative MPs representing seats in the north of England that were Labour for generations since, you know, democracy properly began.
And these policies are a bit kind of Labour as well, aren't they?
I think there's a strong feeling that, don't underestimate Rishi Sunak. Again, he's an extremely bright young man, Harvard educated, you know, Stanford, I can't remember, they're all the same. But the thing is that I think he understands the economics of this, and he understands economic history. When there's been a huge recession, you know, like the 1930s, for example, or a huge increase in demand for government action, like the Second World War, you borrow. You borrow. And he said this in the budget, while interest rates are so low, the cost of servicing can be met. The worry is, well, interest rates will rise. And that's why he said, and it did not go down like a lead balloon, it went down extremely well. And here's your dose of medicine. You know, tax rates are going to go up. And guess what? We are a progressive government. Progressive tax rates are going to go up. Business is going to pay more. Pension funds are going to pay more. You know, and everybody's cheering. Hey, how about that?
Yeah, it was very well received. And you know what? Quietly, we received it very well over here as well when we heard that. The corporation tax going up, because there would have been a worry that, you know, the UK was going to try and become a kind of not a rogue state, but, you know, this Singapore of Europe idea, wasn't it? That the corporation taxes would be cut and you'd become this kind of, I won't say pirate, but, you know, independent state there in the middle of the Europe geographically. Listen, anyway, on the issue of this kind of the Tory party changing and everything, I think back as well to, you know, people like Margaret Thatcher, respected and feared on the world stage and everything. Boris Johnson, again this week, and I can see his reasons for doing it and I know all the arguments for it, but again, extending the grace period of the Irish Sea border, but underlining, Edwina, this impression that Britain is not to be trusted on international agreements and treaties, and that the British Prime Minister is not to be trusted. That's very far from the view Britain would have had of itself when you were in politics, isn't it?
Well, you know, if we're looking at Article 16 and being sort of suspended, there is an element of the EU started this first with something much more important than soil on the roots of plants. They started it first with vaccines, which was ridiculous, and which is now acknowledged to have been ridiculous.
And which they pulled back on straight away as soon as it was pointed out to them.
Not whatever, very quick.
Whatever anonymous functionary did it, I'm sure, got a good rap in the knuckles, and it was reversed straight away.
It wasn't an... That's wicked. You know, if you're in charge of something, you take responsibility for what happens on your watch. That's mean-minded, trying to blame somebody.
I think Ursula von der Leyen did apologise insofar as she apologises for anything. She did
begrudging.
Say...
Yeah, you're welcome to her. Let me tell you, Brendan, you are welcome to her. If she's telling you what to do and what you can and can't do in Ireland, I think that's a great shame. But coming back to this, look, the problem, the deal that was done is that Northern Ireland basically becomes... is part of both the United Kingdom and of the single market. But the problem that then immediately got thrown up was that getting stuff into Northern Ireland, basic stuff like food and plants and so on, suddenly became a huge international issue. And basically Boris has said, oh, sod this. This is ridiculous. You know, stuff can go into Northern Ireland that they need.
Yeah. But we could argue about this all day, but I suppose he had agreed to this, and it did, agreeing to all this did get him out of a pickle at the time. But anyway, look, another thing I wanted to discuss with you, and look, you mentioned vaccines there, and we'll all concede over here that, you know, Boris Johnson, the government, the UK in general, are playing a blinder, really, in the only thing that matters right now, which is vaccines. And you have a roadmap there and everything for easing restrictions. It based on dates, not data, as was recommended. But what do you make of it?
Well, it's interesting to see. I mean, one of the difficulties... is that the older generation are getting very itchy feet. I think I probably said this to you before, but the main side effects of being vaccinated is that you get smugness and itchy feet. And apparently about 80% of the over 80s who have been vaccinated, many of whom have been vaccinated twice now, they're beginning to meet their families. And they're saying, listen, I've been vaccinated, I'm fine. So there's an element of, you know, if Boris doesn't ease the restrictions soon, it'll happen by default. On the other hand, I think we all take on board in this country, and people listen very hard to this. They've tuned into all the number 10 press conferences. When we come out of lockdown, we want that to be the last time. We see what's happening, for example, in the Isle of Man, where they're back in lockdown because, you know, somebody on the ferry was infected and went to a rave and suddenly got 100 people infected. And that is just awful. So we want to come out of this finally vaccinated, immune, and able to carry on with our lives and get on with, you know, building the new country after Brexit and you know, heading into a lovely, wonderful, sunlit future. Oh, for heaven's sake, you know.
And listen, are you one of these people with itchy feet? Have you had your vaccine?
Oh, yes. I had my vaccine on the 2nd of February. So I'm now well into a substantial protection against serious illness and against death. So moi, please God, not heading to hospital, even if I'm in contact with it, I might have the snuffles. And I look forward to getting the second dose, maybe end of April, May. I don't mind, you know. And it was the Oxford
So tell the truth now. Yes. We've all had to admit that one too. I think the French and the Germans didn't enjoy admitting that. And it's not like the English press didn't make a meal out of it at all.
Oh, no, we're very gracious.
Tell me the truth now. Are you starting to get a little bit flexible around the restrictions, having been vaccinated?
Don't think so. I mean, I think there's, if you're well known, you've got to be careful. Someone's always going to take a photo, you know. And I'm in the middle of election campaigns here because we have county elections on May the 6th, and I've been asked to be a candidate. So I'm kind of walking on, what was it, eggshells? Oh, yes, I remember that.
Eggshells, yeah.
So, for example, when I go into the small town in Whaley Bridge, and if I'm doing a bit of shopping or walking with the dogs, going to the post office, whatever, I am careful to have my mask, but it's a funny mask. It's got dogs on it, and it makes people smile when they see it. And, you know, I'm careful. You know, you never know what somebody might have. I mean, they might have cholera or something else. You know, you've got to be careful.
Yeah, you see, we're going to worry about everything now. That's the thing. How much of this will we bring with us into the future? OK, well, listen, good luck with everything, Edwina, and marvellous to talk to you as always. Edwina Curry, thank you very much. And listen, there is they're not texting in about Brexit. They're not texting in about all the other issues we discussed there with Edwina Curry. They're texting in about Harry and Meghan. Why does a grown woman need to have a row with her in-laws in public? One texter asks. Trish says, I don't often agree with Edwina Curry, but she's dead right about Prince Harry and Meghan. If the firm was so toxic and they left it to get on with their lives, then why are they now broadcasting it on the Oprah Winfrey show? And then younger people, Rosie and Santry, I'm surprised you're falling into the trap of believing the English media because Meghan didn't toe the line. And someone else, geez, Brendan, Harry is not the 11-year-old boy that followed his mother's coffin. He's a fully grown man, an actual adult. He comes from privilege and money, but somehow it's all Meghan's fault. And by the way, yes, there are Northern Ireland Tatos. Look, I kind of half knew that. There is a Northern Ireland Tato, Pat says. Completely different packaging and flavour. Not the real thing and rather bland, to be honest. Well, Pat, that's your opinion on it. I'm sure Northern Ireland Tatos are really nice. Someone else says, yes, Brendan, there are Northern Irish Tatos. Look it up on Wikipedia. That's a millennial burner, I think. That's a kind of an OK boomer thing. Go look it up on Wikipedia, Grandad. OK, let's take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.